I'm Tracy Morgan with this special report, a special conversation with the Butler Health System. And we wanted to talk about where we are right now with the coronavirus and also a tent that has been erected outside of the hospital that looks like a testing environment. So we have Dr. John Love with us, Infectious Prevention Department of the Butler Health System. Dr. Love, nice to talk to you again, unfortunately, under these circumstances once again. Let me first ask you something about what's been erected outside of the hospital, if you will. A lot of people are seeing a tent in what looks like what we've seen on other news outlets, the visuals, if you will, like it's a testing site. What is that? What are you using it for?
So you're exactly right. So in the parking lot across the Butler Street from the main hospital entrance, we now have a big white tent and a very fancy trailer that have been rented for setting up a drive-through COVID testing site. This is something we've been working towards for a little less than a week once commercial testing for COVID became available to us. It is very much, I would like to say this is an original idea of ours, but it is very much mimicking the work both Seattle and from before that, South Korea. The idea is to try to do the sample testing for COVID in an open-air environment that is not going to contain the aerosols and droplets that are generated by someone who's sick in an exam room or a site like that, instead of do it out in the open air. That's exactly what we're doing.
All right, so let me ask you this. And last time I talked to you, we dated the whole entire interview. We'll do that again right now because this is fast-moving all the time. So, folks, if you're listening right now, we're talking to Dr. Love in late afternoon of March 17th. So as you talk about this tent, our first thought is, does that mean we have a case? Do we or do we not yet have a case in Butler County?
As of St. Patrick's Day at 4:15 or 4:18 p.m., no cases known in Butler County. And I will say this just out of completeness sake, since Clarion Hospital is part of the Butler Health System, neither in Clarion County either.
Okay.
This has nothing to do with a concern specifically about, oh my gosh, we have a cluster or something kicked this off. This is something that we've been trying to provide for our community and our patients for a while. I think when we first talked, I was bemoaning the limited availability of testing because it was all had to go through the Department of Health, and they have criteria for cases that they test for, and so we weren't really capturing a lot of our outpatients who were relatively well. Experience suggests that about 80% of patients who are infected with COVID don't require hospitalization, have a mild to moderate, respiratory illness, and these patients weren't getting, weren't meeting testing criteria. That changed at the end of last week when we had the availability to get testing to Quest Diagnostics, who have their own testing system. Their capacity is a little limited, and all their testing, at least last I heard, is still being done out in California. So the turnaround time for these tests is 4 or 5 days. So this is not a rapid, you drive in, we swab you, we tell you right away kind of thing, or even call you later in that day. This is going to take a little while. So we still provide patients with guidance in terms of quarantining themselves empirically until we have an answer, making sure that if this does end up being COVID, we're not exposing other people to that patient in the meantime, and kind of going from there.
Why, Dr. Love, erect the tent now? Because if people see this tent, a lot of people will say, oh, they know more than what they're telling us, or they know something that we don't know. Why erect the tent now?
As opposed to next week or last week?
Well, in a sense, because we don't have a confirmed case, why put it up now?
Because I won't have a confirmed case until I can test people.
Okay.
And, a lot of people have been very, very anxious and very interested in being tested if they have symptoms. There was definitely an interest in the band. And until we really can test for this and say yes or no, this is in our community, to assume the answer is no just because we don't look is really sticking our head in the sand like an ostrich. And it does really no one any good, because all this is going to do is sneak up on us and overtake us very quickly.
So when will people start using this, or when will you start using it as a testing arena? And I say that because, are you doing trial runs today? I know one of our staff went by and to see it, just to look at it. And of course, the nurses are there. There's a car there. So are you doing trial runs? Are you doing test runs? When are you opening this for testing?
They opened this morning at 8 a.m. They had a line of cars waiting and swabbed I don't know how much we there. They the site's open 8 to 4 p.m. I don't have a count for where we got to by 4 p.m. By lunchtime, I know they had gotten, I think, about 30 people tested. So it's up and running. It's going to be operational 8 to 4, Monday through Friday. Patients need to have an order from their doctor or provider.
So we can't just drive up like a drive-through.
Yes, you can't just drive up. It's not a self, like, hey, I feel like getting tested today kind of thing. It needs to be a conversation with someone's doctor so there's an order, so that we're testing people who are appropriate. People who are appropriate are people who have symptoms that would be consistent with a COVID infection. People who don't have symptoms shouldn't be tested.
And talk about those symptoms one more time, because,
sure,
again, you and I talked a couple of weeks ago now, or a week ago. It's, you know, it is so fluid and so fast-moving that when we talked last time, if I remember you correctly, the two symptoms that really stood out to me was the shortness of breath and the high fever.
Yeah, so there's a fever, and it doesn't need to be high.
Okay.
You know, some people, the cutoff the CDC uses is 100.4 or higher, which is actually kind of lower than we see for a lot of bacterial infections often. But we see a lot of people see a fever, and a high percentage of people with COVID do have fever, and that's what I misstated or kind of got misconstrued from last time. But a lot of patients with COVID will have fever. They will also have lower respiratory tract symptoms, and by that meaning something that's affecting your lungs, so a cough or shortness of breath, either of those being new. This isn't something that's been lingering for 3 or 4 weeks. This is something that kind of comes on over the course of a week.
All right, so Dr. Love with us with the Butler Health System. So the important points, I mean, it's all important, but folks, if you're just joining us, there is a tent that has been erected with the Butler Health System. It's on the East Brady Street side of the hospital. That's where you're going to see it, and you would need to have your conversation with your PCP first, or I assume the emergency room. Is that right, Dr. Love, if you were in the emergency room?
I mean, no, the goal is really to have patients to talk with their PCPs.
Okay.
If someone feels relatively well, not sick enough to need acute medical care like an emergency room. If they feel like, hey, I might have the flu, I may need to stay home a couple of days, call your primary care doctor. You talk to them about testing. Get the testing done. Come to the emergency room only if you really need emergency level treatment. Coming to the emergency room to get tested is going to end up tying up our emergency system just for testing cases. And basically, once you get in the emergency room, it's just part of that process. And we don't want to have extra patients in there that don't need to be there. So the patients who are still sick with everything else that we're taking care of right now can still get in a timely fashion to see an ED provider.
And again, one more time, folks, if you just joined us, we're talking with Dr. Love at the Butler Health System, but we have no confirmed cases as we're talking right now. As we're talking now, because I'm sure a lot of you may hear this audio at a different time, it's around 4:25 on March 17th, of course, 2020, but I just want to make sure that you have the time stamp just in case something were to happen between now and the next time that you hear this audio. Dr. Love, if I could just ask you one more question. It's kind of a
sure.
side question. I'll let you go. I know you're very, very busy right now, but what would you say, and I don't know if this is in your purview, if you will, because you're with infectious prevention, but what do you say to those folks who are having a difficult time with just all of this information and all of this news, and whether you're talking about anxiety or you're talking about depression, because there's a difference between having depression and being depressed. What do you do with the mental health side of all of this?
Sure. I think it's a really important question. I forget about that part sometimes. It's easy to do as a provider, and it's also easy to do because I've been working on this question or this preparedness since the middle of January. And a lot of people are just kind of realizing, oh, wait, this is really happening. This is really happening in our backyard. Oh, they're saying this is going to be happening here. Now there's a tent near where I go to see my doctor. What does this all mean? And then, I think, as we've talked before, I think there's been a lot of very mixed signals in media, government, things like that. And I think it becomes very difficult to feel like you're getting a nice, consistent, rational answer.
Yeah.
That's transparent. I rely heavily on the Center for Disease Control and the State Department of Health, and I follow their guidelines very closely. I follow their press releases very closely, and that's who I'm taking my cues from. That's easy for me to say because a lot of their communication is written for someone like me to process and digest. At the end of the day, you want to be looking, if you're looking for news stories, you want to look for news sources that are really relying on people or organizations of respect. You know, listening to Dr. Fauci, you know, other representatives from the federal government, from the health side of the federal government, you know, listening to Dr. Levine in the State Department of Health. These are doctors. You can start off with, these are doctors who have gotten into these positions to care for the public, and they have no vested interest in doing anything except for keeping people healthy.
And of what I understand, what I hear from them is them saying, we will get through this. It's just, it's going to be a few weeks before, you know, we can see the next step, if you will. But
exactly.
They keep saying, we will get through this.
Yeah, and, you know, and I think we can get lost in the despair of things that we're losing right now. You know, we're losing our restaurants, so to speak. We're losing, you know, certain activities that, you know, that we rely on and enjoy. All the kids are losing their school and their friends currently, temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
And it does feel like this very heavy, you know, kind of loss that's going on. It is. It's going to be temporary. We're going to go through probably some rougher times than right now, meaning I think we're going to see sick people. I think we're going to see people who die from this in our area. What we're doing is just trying to make that as few people affected by that as we can, and basically just to make it as manageable as we can.
Absolutely. Dr. Love from the Butler Health System, of course, with the Infectious Disease Department, and I know you are incredibly busy, so I just want to say thank you for taking a few minutes. We'll talk again as this thing progresses, but thank you very much.
Anytime, Tracy. Thanks for having me back.